Darren Dreger in studio. What kind of buzz is this creating league-wide, Dregs?
Yeah, a bit of a buzz. Look, you know, when you look at the talent that Connor McDavid is, it's easy to get to that number. The problem is it's a salary cap world. So it's not so easy to get to that number at 13.25. You know, on your show last week in Chicago, I, you know, threw out the grenade of 14 million as a starting point. Well, it's probably where the starting point is pretty close. The problem with it is, and again, anyone who's visited Edmonton in the new building, that building is there largely because of Connor McDavid, or at least it's going to be financed off his back to some degree, the ice district around there. I mean, just the interest in the Edmonton Oilers globally because of Connor McDavid. In many respects, he is the face of the National Hockey League. Certainly shares that poster with Sidney Crosby and some of the other top players in the league. But there is that salary cap, and that's the problem that Edmonton has right now, and it's a good one because you've got world-class players. But, yeah, McDavid at 13.25 is a boatload of money times eight, $106 million. That'd be great if he was the only guy you had to sign. But you've got Leon Draisaitl, who's unsigned. In a perfect world, I think Edmonton would have rather got them done at the same time, found a way to negotiate both deals at the same time. Well, what are you going to sign for? Well, here's what I'm thinking. What are you going to sign for? Okay, let's get this done. It obviously didn't work out that way.
If I'm Draisaitl, Dregs, we were just talking about it off air. I'm going to the Oilers and saying, I'm 10. If he's 13, I'm 10. Like, non-negotiable.
You could see that, though, right? I mean, is Leon Draisaitl, that's 3.25 per year less a player than Connor McDavid. Okay, I buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you know, the Oilers are probably pushing at 7.5, 8, maybe as much as 9. Well, now you're 4.25 or 5.25 or, come on, 6.2. He's not $6 million per year less than Connor McDavid. McDavid, like, you know, he'll be the best player in the National Hockey League, in my opinion, at some point. And he's getting real close to that right now.
We're going to be saying it by November.
Probably. But Leon Draisaitl did not ride the coattails of Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
A lot of times he was the go-to guy.
I 100% agree with that.
Really, yeah, I wonder if in that market it's a bittersweet moment. Because to your point, you're getting this kid for the next 9 years. Yeah, he's got another
celebrating
year.
The greatness, the contract.
And there's nothing better than that. You got McDavid locked in. But you have to be thinking, okay, how is this going to affect everyone else? And I would think maybe even if you're an Oilers fan, your evaluation of Peter Chiarelli, okay, good for you. You got him locked in. But you couldn't work some magic and get him lower than 13.25?
I'd say obviously not, or they would have. You know, and this isn't just a Chiarelli deal. You know, this is a deal that involves Bob Nicholson. It involves Darryl Cates to some degree, the owner of the Edmonton Oilers. Not a lot different than P.K. Subban. And that was a different scenario because P.K. first went bridge and then was headed to arbitration.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure Cates had something to do with it and say, you better get this done.
Just get it done. Yeah, just get it done. Right. But again, the problem, and this is again, you know, how tough the salary cap can be. You know, if you're like Leon Draisaitl, you're sitting there going, hey, fellas, you should have came hard at me a year ago. You could have extended my contract last summer. You didn't do that. You know, so you didn't believe that I was going to take the next step or step after that, and he absolutely did. So that's a risk that every manager takes.
You're right, because if they extended him last year at big money, and he ends up falling on his face because they'd send him down.
Happens all the time.
They sent him down halfway through the season so that he couldn't, I think, at 40 games, just under. Like, that. Now you're sitting there going, well, that's a bad manager. Why are you handing out this money in term on 1 year, on potential? And that's what we were talking about earlier, is it used to be a 31-year-old guy at free agency got paid for what he had done previously in his career. Now you're taking a risk on guys, and that a risk is the wrong word because we know that Draisaitl's a star, we know that McDavid's a star, but you better make sure on the guys who are a little bit lower than that financially.
And you got Talbot coming, he's 2 years away from, you know, his contract. He's probably, certainly, if he's not elite, he's right there.
He is elite.
So what does that pay out in 2 years? And let me ask you guys this, because it doesn't happen very often anymore, but does Leon Draisaitl take a position, a hard-line position, says, I don't have a contract. I'm not coming to camp. I feel like I'm worth 9.5, 9.75, 10 million if we want to use the double digits. And unless I get to that point, I'm not coming to camp. Or those days gone. That doesn't happen anymore.
I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, it depends on what the number is in the term, but if they're really lowballing him based on the McDavid contract, and
then
that's
I would
the comparison,
take that approach. If they took, if they said, "Oh, we're going to give you 7," I would say, "I won't be at camp."
No,
you have to, and he can the business side. That's you have to look at it from a business. Plus, you have to see how irritable this is. If this is a friendly negotiation so far, and you're throwing numbers back and forth and trying to find a common ground to keep the player happy, but also deal with the future of your organization, I think you can keep it within the boundaries of good taste.
Cordial.
But if he gets offer sheeted?
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to throw at you.
That's what we were saying.
Like, why Montreal or Carolina? Or
why wouldn't that happen?
It never happens.
I know.
Brian.
It does.
Then they're just stupid.
I get it, but it's good radio fodder. It's good discussion for media. It just never happens because, you know, and look, Shirelli was asked about it point blank in Chicago last week. He said, go ahead. Somebody offer sheet me. Go ahead.
He doesn't really want that to happen, though. Huh? He doesn't really want that to happen.
Well, of course he doesn't, because he doesn't want to have to be put in that situation.
Exactly.
But if he's forced into that situation, he would match. And all it does is create, in certain cases, a false comp, frankly. Because we'll give Draisaitl the benefit of the doubt and assume he's going to have as good a year or better next year. Well, then you're fine with it. But what if he doesn't? And now he's a $10 million player, and you've just set the market on a 20-goal scorer at $10 million per, you know? And the rest of the NHL, including your own guys, are sitting there going, really? You know, yeah. you gave him 10 on an offer sheet. I just scored 35 goals, and you're not willing to go to 6 on me? You know?
And one thing about Draisaitl, he did a lot of his damage stats-wise playing with Connor McDavid.
Well, he got, I mean,
he spent a lot of time
there
on his right wing.
Well, but he's, I think he's
think of
legit,
Patrick Maroon.
Man,
I know, but Patrick Maroon, everyone in Edmonton thought this guy was better than Lucic.
Well, but here's
playing
the thing,
with McDavid. McDavid, just go to the net with your stick on the end.
Here's the truth, though. You're right. I mean, offer sheets don't happen. They just don't. They haven't happened in the longest time. That's the case, and this guy's an RFA. Ultimately, he can't do anything. And McDavid couldn't either. I mean, I know he's worth that, but realistically, based on the CBA, he can't go anywhere. He's a restricted free agent.
He can sit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at some point, I would think he'd probably say, you know what, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Yeah, but it can work two ways, too, Brian. Like, all of a sudden, the Oilers, you know, go off to a sluggish start in the first 10, 15 games, and the heat starts getting poured on them. You know, they're not that far removed from being a bad hockey organization.
Absolutely. I'm not saying I would do it with McDavid.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, if you know the rest of the league's not going to touch him, though, and this kid, and he's saying, I want 11... Like, at some point, when are the Oilers going to say, all right, then I guess we can't talk anymore?
And I agree with you in the sense that I'm surprised that some general manager doesn't step up and do it. You know, when, look, we hear about the same things every single year. Well, I need a number one center.
It's the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it. Unless you're lucky enough to win the lottery and draft one. How else do you acquire them?
Right.
Either pay through the teeth when they become unrestricted free agents, or you ruin your team in a trade, and that never happens because who's giving up top-line centers? Or you go rogue and you offer sheet. It's the only way to get them.
Well, the elephant in the city is Lou Lamoriello and the way he handles contracts. And obviously, there's a ripple effect here on the Leafs because if McDavid gets 13.25, let's say Matthews scores 40 goals, 80 points, ends up for the Hart. He may not get 13.25, but I would think he's getting a minimum 12.
Right.
And if he gets 12, Marner and Nylander will play the roles of Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you see this playing out in Toronto based on this ripple effect?
Yeah, very similar. Very similar. And all you can hope for is that the salary cap continues to inch its way up and you'll spend every dollar. And I wonder if there won't be a bit of a copycat. And any defensive coach listening to this is going to drive off the road because they're not going to like it. But, you know, here's what we saw in the Stanley Cup final. We saw two world-class centers in Crosby and Malkin beat arguably the best defense in the sport. Is that fair?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Arguably the best defense in the sport. And so you see Brad Treliving, who I think is an excellent general manager, go out and spend dearly to acquire Travis Hamonic because he loves the idea of having maybe an equal top four to Nashville
or right there in the Nashville Predators.
Right there, but hold on a sec. You know, the top two centers just showed what they can do to the best defense in the sport, period. So maybe because of the salary cap being as restrictive as it is, you better damn well be sure that you're covered up the middle of the ice. You better make sure that your number one and number two are number one and number two centers. And if that comes at the expense of your number 4D, number 5D, all right.
That's not possible, though, Darren. There's not enough good centermen in the league for everybody to say my 1-2 can
that
get the job.
That could be true.
I know it's
but
true.
But it takes us back to Draisaitl. Then if you don't have them, go get them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's where it would
you're
come
never
going to
get a situation like this with Leon Draisaitl where it's going to be better.
And well, but Tavares is looking at this situation. Carey Price is looking at it. I mean, just
Jack Eichel's looking at
value
it.
Value to their organization. They're not McDavid, but I mean, Carey Price is McDavid to the Canadians.
He's just valuable.
He won the Hart a couple years ago. Right. Like he's well, the best player on the planet.
You know, the Islanders turn off the lights. Party's
see you later.
Over.
So what's stopping him from saying I want 13.25?
Tavares?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's stopping him. I mean, he won't.
He won't get it, more than
he won't
likely,
get
but.
It. But he's got to be up in the Kopitar range, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
But doesn't this contract drag everybody, a lot of these players, into double digits?
Mm-hmm.
Even ask, like, get 10. Like, 10 well, may be the
I think
norm for some
Eichel's
of these
the perfect example, because Buffalo is not a big market. They've just kind of been hanging around for a long time. Eichel, he's not McDavid, but in Buffalo, he's huge, and he's a stud.
And you got to pay him because of that.
You got to pay him because of that, right? I mean, again, if I might, I
almost got to pay him just as a perception type signing, where it's like he was the second overall. We got to keep him close to that guy because he's our guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Like again, you're not going 13.25 necessarily, but Eichel may look at it and say, okay, I want 11 now.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's a lot of money for guys who have been in the league for 2 years. Well, and you know what? The connection here is, Dregs, none of them have won anything.
Right.
None of them have won cups.
No.
McDavid's going to get paid. Eichel's going to get paid. Price will get paid. Tavares will get paid. Matthews will get paid. These guys have never won. Now, they're great players. I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying they're not worth the money, but.
Yeah, when you look at some of the other guys who have got paid and are getting paid, Kane, Taves, Kopitar.
They got rings, man.
They've won Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
It's exactly. And we discussed this earlier, too, with Ray, how this might affect the CBA. Do you think this is something where the league and the GMs may come together and say, we got to stop with paying guys 2 years into the league this kind of money? Do you think the league would care as much, or do you think maybe the PA will look at it internally and say, our older guys are getting squeezed because all the money's going to the guys who've only been in the union for 2 years?
Yeah, the second contract has always been an issue, though, right, for the National Hockey League. But, you know, the NHL might come back to its general managers and say, are you kidding? I mean, you're drafting these guys at 18. You're forcing them into the National Hockey League at 18. You know, a handful of them only are impact players at 18, and you're getting them at less than $1 million, you know, in salary. Now, Austin Matthews made what?
With bonuses like
$4 million this year,
and
plus, and that counts against the cap on the cushion and whatnot. But that second contract has always been an issue.
Go to Mark's Work Warehouse, Darren, and get yourself some underwear for Saturday, buddy. It's a long day at that desk.
I or go commando.
Yeah, I say.
I don't think that should be your move.
That's go the commando. Veteran move, man. I support that. I support that.
It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day. Let's hope there's some. Lots of action.
Hey, maybe McDavid signs. Well, he can't sign until July 1, right?
Right.
I'll there be throwing go. My underwear out of my truck right on that security gate.
Again?
And leave.
Gutless.
For
as long
2 months.
As long as they're yours, O-Dog. As long as they're yours.
Exactly. All right, Drex. Thanks, buddy.